next part, we're going to go over topic for writing. Give it a shot. Do your best. Lines of thought, ideas you get in your head that precede a binge or that lead you to binging.
Yeah, I was just saying maybe write on the what are some of the lines your disease gives you? The salesman tell you as a way to sell your next, you know, breaking your abstinence. You know.
All right. Anybody need a pen? Okay, now's the point we're going to ask anybody to stand up and share their topic. Can the mic record that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the mic can. If you care to share on the topic, you just wrote on it. What do you think when prior to a binge the thoughts that run through your head? So, you get volunteer, raise your hand, and we'll call on you from there.
By the way, if you don't want to be identified on the podcast, just don't say your name. It's fine. Okay, go.
Fuck my sponsor. I cannot live unless I have that piece of bread and butter right now. I deserve it. Nobody will see me. And program is no match for cheesecake.
Hi, I'm things that my disease tells me before I act on, do it now so you don't do it later. It's just this one time, just one thing. Well, you should get rid of it. You can't have it in the house. But if you're truly going to throw it out, why not just use it all instead? Waste it. Why waste it? Probably about chocolate. You earned it. You can just skip lunch or dinner instead. Just do whatever you want now, as long as you don't do anything later. this is how life is for you. You're not going to recover, so this is what you get. I'm hopeless. You're hungry, but there's actually nothing to eat. Hungry, but it's too soon to eat. It's okay to do it a little bit, as long as I don't do it. As long as it's less than what I've done in the past, or as long as it's not, you know, my list of granola, chocolate, or oatmeal, those are my three things. And then everything else is okay. It's okay if I didn't steal it. It's okay if nobody sees me. It's okay if I don't have to unwrap or open it. It's okay if it's free. Why deprive myself? Then also, why go ahead and actually eat it? It's too expensive. I want to eat like everything else.
Thanks.
I can have a bite, it won't hurt me. Just this one time will be okay. It's a special occasion, it's okay. Heck, if I don't eat it, I will eat everything else. They, he, she brought it, made it for me, just take it. He shouldn't have brought it home. It's his, but he won't care. Just get it out of the house, I'll eat it. I'm starving, I don't have time to eat what I planned. I waited too long to eat, grab anything fast. I don't feel or want to eat this. I will have this instead. I haven't had it for a long time. It's fine to have some now. It's not too bad. I'll just eat it.
Thanks.
Yes.
My disease frequently kicks the can down the road, as you said, as soon as I can abstinence, or I know I can get abstinent again, so I don't feel so hopeless. That way I can say, I'll eat the chocolate today and start again tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. Or if I eat something that wasn't part of my plan, I'll say, well, you've already bought it, you might as well finish off the whole box and start again tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. Or if I'm thinking about binging and I know I should call my sponsor or someone else in the program, but I know they'll try to talk me out of it. Mm-hmm. If I do, I eat the food and confess my sins after the fact. Mm-hmm. But that's mostly not. Or I tell myself, if you just close your sponsor, your snack would be light potato chips. You didn't say how many chips you had. So I can continue to eat them until I consume the entire bag.
Mm. Thanks. Yes.
Go ahead and buy those crackers, amaranth and spelt. They're healthy. Just one can't hurt. Okay, I'll bring the whole box to the table. Dried fruit, eat all you want. That's healthy too. Eat tonight. You'll start your new abstinence tomorrow. If you don't feel lousy in the morning, then what you ate is okay. It's not really a disease, it's just a character defect. And God will take that away from you when it's time. You're not binging, you're just grazing. If I don't feel full, then I didn't overeat. It's not a candy bar, it's a health bar. I'm eating at night so I won't feel ravenous in the morning.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Roberta. I've heard some of the lies I respond with. No one will know. It doesn't count if I'm standing. Broken pieces don't count. And if I eat in the dark, it really doesn't matter. One more doesn't matter. I'll start tomorrow or Monday, or it's the first of the month or some holiday. Or I'll change my definition of abstinence. And the one that I really always use is normal. Even normal people will sometimes overeat. It's normal not to ever go to food for emotion. And then I didn't want to just leave it with the negative thoughts that come in, so I also included some of my responses to these thoughts. You know, the first one where it doesn't count, I know that honesty is the keynote. And so when I share with sponsors or sponsees or friends, you know, what I'm going through, how I'm feeling, that helps. Whenever I shine the light on my feelings, it helps. And, you know, and we all know that when we say one more doesn't matter, you know, there's that saying, one is too much and 100 are not enough.
Right.
And, you know, it most likely one will lead to more if it's something that's so tantalizing and attractive and I can't handle. And then that I'll start tomorrow or whenever. Mm-hmm. You know, today, this is the moment. This is all I have. Who knows, you know, tomorrow is a myth. And then my definition of abstinence, I actually do work on and try to change. And like, I don't have red light foods because deprivation just makes me feel like I want it. So I just kind of say, you know, trying to eat with dignity and sanity and grace most of the time, eating in moderation, working towards and maintaining a healthy body weight, and, you know, keeping in fit spiritual condition. That was the big one that turned me around from relapse into recovery, when I really got that personal God. And then I do allow myself to crunch on carrots or celery or popcorn, you know, those 100 calorie bags, when I'm in anxiety. And I do end my day with a frozen yogurt that I have, and that gives me soothing, because I still use food emotionally. But I feel like I've been abstinent for 12 years, so it's working, thanks.
Thank you, Bert.
Yes?
Well, I'm not supposed to be like negative, oh, Jan, compulsive, oh, you can't make yourself myself, so I feel like I have no value. I mean, I feel inadequate, or that I'm a failure. My disease will tell me I'm not lovable, or point out physical flaws. Sometimes my disease will tell me that I won't be successful at anything I try to do. It has me compare myself to others so that I feel like I have to have what others have or be what others are. It will also tell me that I can start over tomorrow if I just binge this one time or just eat this one thing.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, Angie.
You can start again tomorrow. I just want to feel good, or I just want to stop feeling bad. I'm already fat, so there's no incentive. What I want right now overrides what I want is the big picture. Just can't see it in the moment. Nothing else is going to satisfy me or make the discomfort go away. I'm not strong enough to resist. the tool they're not comfortable to use, and they aren't really going to work, so I bother. I don't want to cough, or pray, or write. I just want the delicious, hot, fucking cheesy pizza. I'm not willing, and I'm going to be last anyway.
Thanks. Thank
you. Hi. This will be the last time. I'll start fresh tomorrow. You deserve it because fill in the blank. It's Friday, it's Monday, it's a bad day. Whoever did why, you know, whatever. It's organic / healthy. Everyone has bad days, or is eating this thing. You can just have a little bit. You're worthless and therefore meant to be, feel fat and feel horrible. You're still crazy even when you're thinner, and then you're hungry, so you might as well just be crazy. No one will know. You'll feel better, you'll feel more calm. And fuck it.
Thanks. Anything else? Okay.
Well, if you're a teacher, problem with breaking your absence, people will understand and forgive you. What makes you think any of them actually care about you for just being nice? You don't actually matter. Nobody really cares if you're recovery. Just come by. Come on. Do you really plan to keep this up forever? You look staying so well now, I'm sure one bite won't hurt you. You'll be able to handle it now. You are aware OA isn't for you, right? You're not like them. They use the disease as an excuse. You don't think it's a disease. This is just a way for them to extract the situation. Blame all their bad qualities on their disease and credit all the good qualities on their higher power. It's a way for them not to take any responsibility for anything whatsoever. You're smarter than that. Don't lie to yourself. You've messed everything up. What did you do? Why did you have to do that? Why did you share that? This is our little secret. Now the whole world will know. No one will like you now. You're a bad person. You deserve every bad thing that will happen to you as a result of it. It's just food. No one will be able to treat that food with the love and respect it deserves. You need it more than anyone else. Everyone else will take it for granted. You can make good use of it. Isn't restricting not being nice to yourself? You deserve a treat. Where's your higher power now?
Thank you. That was great.
And, you know, one of the things, my number one one was always the tomorrow mantra. You know, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I heard somebody, like they had an old timers panel once, and one of the people said, you know, look at this group here. They've got 30 years, there's 10 of them, and not one of them started their abstinence on a tomorrow. You know, and I guarantee almost every one of them, sometime in that first week was like, ah, screw it, you only got it less than a week. And yet something made them not do it at that time. And I think about myself, you know, how many times I restarted and something, the grace of God, said, okay, he's had enough, and, you know, was able to say, just for tonight, you know. And I never used that until the first time, my last first week of asses. And one other thing, Chris P. from Orange County is a great line. Somebody was talking about comparison and a way to feel bad. Chris P. says, the shortest distance to insanity is through comparison. You know, and I love it. Because I'll never sit there, there'll be 10 people in the room, and I won't ever compare myself to somebody that I'm better than. I'll find something that they are better than me. I can go, look at that. This is, and it reinforces my lousy self-esteem. So,
yeah, I want to get one in. I'll never do this again so long as I live, and this time I mean it. That would be the preceding for the next one. Nobody understands. It's none of their business. I'm enough of a man that I don't care what people think. I want to be people pleasing. And if there's nobody else, we'll have shit. Anybody else? Does someone want to actually share something, anything at all? If you have anything to share, come on down, as they say.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Looks like today is like just a super funky day. Looks like regular.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel triggered. I feel really inadequate today, and
I have to rationalize and I'm not inadequate and all that stuff, but the feeling still, you know, keeps downing me. And I was sitting at home and I was talking to my sister who's in another program. And I'm like, you know what, I think I'm going to go to this workshop today. And she was like, no, no, go if you don't feel like it. I'm like, no, I don't feel like it, but I have to. And I'm really happy that I did come because I really got a lot from our speakers today that really resonated with me and kind of, you know, even though I'm still feeling kind of, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those days, one of the rotted tree stuff. And, you know, I'm just grateful for this program because if I wasn't here right now, I'd probably be at home. I probably, you know, or fantasizing about food. Like, I always talk about the Food Network. It's like the Playboy Channel. And so I almost like turned it on, like, you know, I Big Brother, you know. And so I made sure to turn the channel on. Like, no, man, if I was at home right now, I definitely have food on my mind. But I still do. But at least I'm around people that I know are there for me. If I decide to run out the door, I go screaming at the house and cut it. I'm really grateful for this
question. Thanks.
Two or three more, because I want to get in some Q&A, I suppose. Three or four more. Anybody at all?
I do know I feel that way, that it sounds like a thing. I lost a child. Mm-hmm. He's to retire. You would think. 19 to 43, I'm integrated or something. I'm not teaching, thank God. But I have been under eating and I put the quote that that's the shortest distance since then, and I was working for only 10 years. I'm in relapse with the PTSD. I tried to look at my relapse is my because the way I think doing his own thing, but I've just taken that in, and that, but I just have to.
Thank you.
I could just really be negative. I've shared that I don't believe that this is a disease. It's just a bad habit for me. And I just need to learn to break the bad habit and have better self-control and be more obedient, you know. And the powerless, I touch on the line with that because I don't believe I'm powerless because I know that my higher power and my God always, you know, he gives me power. So to get to that hopeless state, which I think you're supposed to get at also, I do feel like I get hopeless and I say, what's the use, you know, always not going to work for me. And I do get to that point and I keep on going back to the meeting. You know, because I mean, that's really all I have. There's really nothing else out there for me. I've never done really any real diets. I just always wanted to be healthy. And when I first came into the program, it'll be 5 years this month. I got abstinent right away, but then that kind of moved, I guess. Then my thyroid got out of whack. I had no idea what was going on. So I have things I can blame. I have a husband and a phone that's on the program. It's so easy for me to blame. And, you know, I guess it would be easier to have support, but I think, you know, if I were to live on my own, I may not do any better. I would still be in the city of food. And some days I can do really good. I can go. When I first came in, I said, well, what's going to happen when I get a full drawer of 30-day chips? And I have a lot of 30-day chips at home. I don't like to count my abstinence days. Mm-hmm. For some reason now, it just sets me up. And I just take it one day at a time, and I know that I have more emotional and spiritual recovery in this program, and I just think that I'm trying to get balanced out in some way and centered, and I do see improvement in my life, but this food thing, I mean, it still kicks my butt. And I find that I'm picking something up without even thinking about it. I know there's got to be some kind of a thought or some kind of emotion, but I don't know. I still have hope. I keep coming here because I see proof that it's worked for others. So, anyway, thank you for this workshop.
Thank you.
For you. It's great.
John, do you have any more? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gratitude. Man, I'm recovering lately. My goodness gracious. Last week and this week, even though there have been some huge challenges, I've gone with feelings. And I'm just not agreeing over with feelings. It's the only game in town. It's the only one. All that food does is it set me up for failure, because feeling's going to be there. You know, no matter what, the food's going to be there. The food's going to be there. For many years, it was sugar set up by my parents because they had a variety store. The only candy I wanted, so they tried to buy my bottle. But not the only choice I had when I was hooked on sugar was to keep the high going. This is so much better. So much, much better to have the feelings, to sit with them and not panic and run around and run to 7-Eleven or something like that, and to pray every day. And thank you for what you said about the day by day. I know if I get beyond that, especially with my abstinence, I'm in real trouble. So it's a great part of here and now. Thanks.
And if what we're going to do now, I think, is question and answer. Anybody have any questions? Well, take turns. Please don't be shy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm Andrea. I'm a cooking over here. And I want to thank you both for your share. Like, I'm just really inspired by both of what you both have to say. I'd like to know more about, you both alluded to spiritual awakening we had, or being in fit spiritual condition, and having been in the lab so long myself, I get what you're saying. How did you all make that spiritual, you both make that spiritual connection?
I developed a spiritual relationship with my higher power in my other 12-step program. But when it came back to OA, I didn't have a higher power in OA. There was a higher power in my other 12-step program, outside of OA, in my regular life, but in specifically in OA, no higher power. And there's just nothing there. Nothing spiritual, no higher being. And I knew that for me to maintain what I had in OA, I had to find some kind of higher power. So somebody suggested I write about it. And the reason I didn't have a higher power is because if God really loved me, he wouldn't have made me fat. And I could not get in touch with a God who made me fat. I just could not. He just was not on my side. And so I just could not even try it. And then that same person suggested I write of how I wanted a higher power to be in OA. And I wrote about it, and what I wanted was I wanted my higher power to want me to live thin, and that everything in my life was in preparation for that time. And then she suggested that maybe I can try this higher power out. And as soon as I made the decision to try this particular perspective of higher power out, it totally clicked in to the higher power I had in my other 12-step program and the rest of my life. And what it meant to me is that there's nothing I can do that was wrong in OA. There wasn't one binge that was a wrong binge. Everything was a necessary experience for me to live thin later. And so I could binge, say fuck you with food, whatever I wanted to do, it was perfectly in the plan to do that, because it was all the experiences I needed for later. And when later would arrive, I wouldn't know, but it was just part of what I had to experience and go through. And so then I got my higher power in OA, and it was always on my side, no matter what I did, that I judged or whatever, it was a necessary experience, whatever that experience was.
For me, one of the best things that happened when I first came to my first program is, I was saying to this guy, oh, I can't be part of this, because at the time I was this rabid atheist, having come out of a very dogmatic religion as a child. And I can't be part of the 12-step program because it's religious. And he was like, no, it's spiritual. And finally, I was arguing with him. He says, okay, leave it out. Leave it out right now. You know, and it was like such a blazingly simple thing that my brain, which likes to complicate a one-step process, is like, what? And he said, look, right now your disease is looking for any reason to head out the door. And what could be better than to think, you know? And it was the perfect thing for him to say, because then I could keep the door crack, you know? And I could resign the debating society, and I could sort of, you know, let it be. Because, you know, I always said, if somebody, I've heard people tell newcomers, oh, keep coming, you'll get it. That would have sent me out the door just as fast. Oh, my God, the cult is going to get me, you know? And the other thing that happened was I had to realize that before I could have a good understanding of what I wanted, and I believed in higher power, I had to throw out the stuff I got from my childhood. It just wasn't going to work. I come from a long line of nasty Irish alcoholics on both sides, so the idea of a male God is just not going to work for me. It just isn't, and I had to come to... And where I'm at these days is, you know, like I said, the idea of admitting I'm a lesser power is more about losing the self, and to say everything, you know, this is a great expression, it's like, you know, everything's happening the way it's supposed to, God's in his place, or something like that, that to me is more of just admitting that, you know. I've heard people, I always got baffled by the phrase turning it over, and I've always like visualized, you know, turning something over, and the thing that came out of the AA 12 and 12 and the third step was something about removing the blockade of self, meaning the key wasn't necessarily to find a higher power, it was like sort of giving up, you know, going with the stream, as opposed to, I spent my life as a salmon trying to swim up the stream, and to just sort of change and say, everything's happening the way it's supposed to. I'm on the highway, the guy in front of me is going 40, but evidently that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, you know, and on any given day, I do it better than others, but I, you know, that's what I came to, I had to find higher power that would work for me in such a way that it would help me. And I had to unlearn first the things that I was given and come up with new ones. And ironically, now I'm in another dogmatic religion, but it's my religion that I've decided and had my own belief in what I want to believe in, as opposed to one that was handed to me, here you go, here's the rules, follow it or no, you know. And so today, it seems to work. I'm sorry. I'm not.
I was wondering how you each define your abstinence.
Okay. It started for me, meals at mealtime was life in between. And I ate everything. Life in between included popcorn at the movies. And I always did sugar. I still do. I eat sugar if I want to. But I started to have high cholesterol. So I decided not to eat fats that were solid at room temperature. If they weren't solid, if they were liquid at room temperature, they were fine. And so it just evolved little by little. And the way I've been eating last year, as of March of last year, is I only eat plant-based foods. Because I went to this workshop and they provided food, and they happened to have, on Friday evening, all-you-can-eat plant-based buffet. And on Saturday, they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all you can eat buffets. And on Sunday, they had breakfast and lunch, all you can eat buffet. And I weighed myself before going, and I weighed myself when I came back, and I lost 2 pounds. So on Monday, when my younger sister and I were driving back to LA from Santa Rosa, California, we thought, maybe, I wonder if we can just keep on doing this, because we have the whole like weekend. And so we just made it an experiment. We can stop any time. And both of us have been doing it a year. And I'll just add that I went to get my cholesterol tested at Kaiser, which I haven't had tested for 2 years before. And I'm down 75 points. Mm. And my triglycerides are down 102 points. Mm. And I stopped eating Jell-O because it comes from an animal. So a lot of things that I touch is. So I'm doing that voluntarily. And if I should eat animal, it doesn't matter. It's just a choice I've made. So that's how it evolved, and it's definitely an evolution. Because, and I'm also, I did not decide to be plant-based. It's just that weekend immersed me into that. And so far, so good. Thank you.
And, yeah, I would say, well, I remember my old sponsor, had, you know, because I got, you know, I go to this kitchen sink meeting, and they said, get up and define your abstinence. And I got up and defined a food plan. And he says, is that really your abstinence? And it got me thinking that, you know, I will talk about my food plan in a second, but my abstinence includes, besides the food plan, going to a certain amount of meetings a week, having a sponsor, being a sponsor, and doing service. I try to set 2 or 3 meetings a week. I try not to go under that, not that there's a magic number in that, but I find if I don't sort of have that, 2 turns to 1 turns to 1 every other week, and, you know, and I did that once, you know, I don't want to do that again. And as to the food plan, right now I tend to do 3 meals a day and a snack at night, which is really a deferred dessert. I am not horribly rigid because every once in a while I had an early lunch and a late dinner and I'll have a little something, but I try to be very cognizant of it. And my old sponsor talks about how you hit a certain age and the amount of food you got was this much, and I'm holding my hands a certain way, and now at my age I get to eat this much, and I mourn the difference, and I agree with him 100%, is that at a certain point, if I'm not overeating, I then have the same choice that a non-compulsive overeater has of how much do I want to eat, how much do I want to weigh. You know, and I'm not happy exactly where I am. I'm up a little more than I want, and I've started to slowly, you know, get that down and eat less. And like Ned, I'm eating a lot less meat than I used to, but that also happens to have something to do with having a wife who says you're going to eat less meat. but it's okay. I really am starting to see that it, you know, my lifelong aversion to non-meat products is actually, you know, old taste, and to be open to trying new things, and so, yeah, my food has gotten, you know, a little over the years, like Nanette says, it has to be evolutionary because we don't stay in the same place. I joke that if I was eating the amount of food I'm eating now, when I first came into OA at 26 and I had the metabolism of a hummingbird, I would be emaciated, you know, and it's very frustrating to get to a certain age and your metabolism says, sorry, I'm done. And so, yeah, I have to keep an eye on that.
What were your rock bottoms?
I don't have a bottom. I had a sponsor that I really wanted to keep as a sponsor who asked what my bottom line was, and I told her that I did not have a bottom line, and I've been asked that for, say, 5 years already, because if I had a bottom line, something inside of me would try to go there. I'm very passive-aggressive in that way. I would try to go there. So not having a bottom line worked for me. And then she kept insisting I have a bottom line. And I didn't want to lose her as a sponsor. And I said, okay, I'll give you a bottom line, but it has to be an honest one, meaning that if I cross this line, I won't be abstinent. So I told her, so I thought for like 15 seconds, and I said, okay, my bottom line is a month of binging. If I binge for a month, I'll know. So that's not even something I would even approach, but I had to have a big buffer where I couldn't go there. So that's my bottom line, a month of binging.
In terms of like hitting the bottom, I think the it was, you know, just like it talks about in the spiritual experience, it was a slow, you know, educational variety of the longer I was in the other program, the more I could see how much my eating was like my drinking had been, and my feelings the next day, the feelings of just self-loathing, and you know, even like in one of my last you know, relapses before, you know, hopefully I got my last abstinence, or the one I got now, I remember thinking, even before I'd gone to get whatever it was I was going to get, and even before I'm eating it, I'm feeling lousy. I'm feeling horrible about myself, and I'm not even eating it yet. I'm going, well, if I'm doing this, why the hell am I doing this? And it's like, you know, there's the old story of the scorpion and the turtle, and the turtle says, the scorpion says, gotta get a ride across the river, and
the turtle says, no, no, you'll sting me. And the scorpion says, no, I won't, because then we'll both drown. And the turtle gets halfway across the river, and the scorpion stings him. And he says, well, why'd you do that? We're both going to drown. He says, I don't know. It's just what I do. And there was a part of me that thought of that when I was going to eat. I didn't like how I felt, and I had no alternative. And even the thing I was doing, I knew wasn't working anymore. And there was just such an exasperation of, I've got nothing else. You know, I'm not a gambler. You know, any of those other things didn't do it. I wasn't going to, you know, lose my sobriety, but I had nothing else. And I just think really getting that, it becomes one of those, you know, we've all heard the stupid expression. I'm sorry, maybe you don't think it's stupid. When people say, well, food's not going to help. And we're like, you know, we're eaters. We're not idiots. Of course food's not going to help. You know, it's not going to cure my problems. But it would, at least at one point in my life, give me, you know, a few minutes of go-away time where I would just not be there. But that time got less and less and less and less to the point, like I said, even before I was eating, it wasn't going to work. And that exasperation of, well, if I'm going to feel lousy both ways, why don't I embrace the abstinence?
We have Tim, you want to get one more question? We got time.
Give me geography, I'm really good at that.
He knows the way to San Jose.
Yes.
Talk about fellowship in your life.
Please.
Sure. Well, right now, I go to a Thursday meeting, my home meeting, 100 Pounders, and a few of us go out to dinner before that meeting, and it just helps me connect in a very casual way. I like to eat with compulsive overeaters because I always compare myself to them. And, I remember when I was going to another meeting where we had dinner after the meeting, this guy used to, we went to the Sizzler at that time when there was a Sizzler at this particular location, and he used to eat, not with us, but when he was practicing, he used to use the whole tray as his dish, all the food on the tray, and so that made me feel better, because I didn't do that. Or he used to take one of those toy shovels at the beach with kids, and he used to eat with that toy shovel. Now he eats with a big soup joint. So, that, you know, I could see the improvement, and it just made me feel better. So that kind of fellowship, and then pretty soon friendships developed, and I'm having taken somebody out for their birthday, and have a birthday little, you know, so it's that's the kind of fellowship I've experienced.
At the risk of sounding like the crusty old timer, we used to have a lot more fellowship in this program. I know back east we did. We used to have a lot. Used to go to a meeting, believe it or not, that met in an OA meeting that met in a Ponderosa, which is essentially like a Sizzler. And we would meet ahead of time. We would have an abstinent, you know, dinner, and then we would have a meeting. Or afternoon lunch, you know, times like Serenity Sunday or something like that, we would all go out somewhere afterwards. Even at Serenity Sunday, everybody used to go to the Century Park, you know, mall area, and or Century City. And but there used to be more of that, and it is good. And for me, besides having a sponsor, I really believe in the idea of having a God squad, you know. And I've said this to other people, is like, you know, one of the things I loved about my old sponsor, not the one I have now, is I was having some kind of problems either with my wife or the person I was dating before that, and I'd call up and I go, yeah, what's with women? And he'd be like, John, I'm a gay man, I can't help you. And the thing I loved was he was honest. He didn't feel like he had to have the answers. And one of the things he said was, you know, you should have different people who can help you with different areas of your life, because it takes a village here, you know, and it takes a village to keep me sane on any given day. And by having the fellowship, I know certain people I can call up about things, and you know, other people I can call up who've got, like, they're in the same business I'm in, and I can call up and, you know, gripe about customers or that, or, you know. And for me, the idea of fellowship is sort of an adjunct to recovery. I, you know, again, the bottom line, I can't do this by myself. And I need not only higher power, you know, and there are higher powers. They're helping me on any given day. You know, if for no other reason, they're not inside this head. And they can help give me a little objectivity.
Okay. That's going to be a good